Greetings, magical fam. It's me. I'm back at it with the third podcast for this year. Thank you so much for staying tuned, for staying with me. This week, I'm talking about vulnerability. Let's get into it. Vulnerable. One, capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. Two, open to attack or damage, assailable. What first comes to mind when I think of being vulnerable is love. Throughout my life, especially when I was younger and in a relationship with somebody, it took nothing to say the words, "I love you." I say especially when I was younger, because that's when people around me would be like, "What you know about love, girl? It's too soon for all of that." As I got older, it remained, but I spoke up a little less. Thing is, love came naturally. I've always felt like loving somebody simply meant I care about your well-being and basically if you're physically okay. How they felt emotionally was of importance to me, and if I could help, I would. If they needed anything and I happened to have it, then it was theirs. It was that simple. At that point in my life, there was more Sunday school and youth groups going on, so my focus was more Corinthians 13 and less Leviticus 18 or Revelations, but I'll touch on that later. My understanding of love is that it was to be given, not earned. It just felt right. I hadn't done anything to earn love, so I just loved like that. One thing I understood about vulnerability at a young age was that in order to allow others to feel safe and open, I would have to open up too. I was also big on the whole treat others as you want to be treated. In short, just be kind. Emotional reciprocity is real. Now, I realize to be vulnerable is much bigger than a conversation around love. As I've grown in this life, I've seen so many sides of vulnerability. There's the side of it where somebody can be taken advantage of because they just wanted to do something nice for somebody. There's a side that looks a lot like a level of trust was broken after working out within oneself that it was okay to trust. And then there's just basic, "I don't know you like that, so there's no reason for me to open up to you." All these instances are quite valid. Sometimes avoiding vulnerability is how we protect ourselves from actual hurt, harm, and danger. Sometimes walls and stop signs are the only thing keeping us from being eaten alive. But what happens when those threats are gone and the walls are still there and the stop signs are now keeping the things that we are seeking out? Out. In 2019, amidst complicated feelings about letting love in and keeping it out, I jumped up and got this impromptu tattoo. I hadn't done anything like this since I took 95 from Philly to DC and got a tat with Kalina. It was her first one, and I wanted to support her, you know. Anyhow, I hopped in the car and popped over to Capitol Hill to see Georgia at True Love Tattoo. I knew it'd be a long shot to just walk in and get inked right there on the spot, especially from the owner, but guess what? He had time. I knew what I wanted, and I knew where I wanted it. Let love in, right there on top of my hand. This way, I could be reminded to do so when I wasn't quite aware that I was blocking it out. This is what was going on. My wife and I hadn't been separated very long, and so my inclination was to just heal. Heal what? I don't even know. It was an amicable separation. We were still friends, and we still treated one another like family. I just figured loss is loss, so maybe there was an anticipation of grief, even if I didn't know what it looked like. I just assumed I'd find out what needed healing once it hurt. So in this space, to heal meant reject all forms of love until it felt like I had taken enough time, and then naturally, I would allow myself to receive it. I didn't really know what that looked like either. Being open had always been my default, and keeping things out was something I had to consciously activate. There were people that wanted to love on me, just acts of kindness, really. But I would push and pull them into me and away from me. I didn't feel like I didn't deserve love and kindness. I just didn't have time for it, which really meant time to figure out how to adequately reciprocate. I felt like I couldn't just receive and give thanks without returning something of equal value. So I sort of forced myself into emotional isolation. I was healing and stuff, you know. I was keeping the walls up, and the lights that flashed around the stop sign were on high beams at this point. What I hadn't quite realized was that I was keeping out the very thing I wanted to let in. And the thing about walls and stop signs is that if you get really good at handling that brick and mortar and that sign is cemented in a good 10 feet of earth or down to the core, it can be so powerful that everything must acknowledge it. Anything and anyone that's going to make it in has to be invited or come highly recommended and then vetted. And for me, this worked great. It definitely came in handy when somebody would try to pull that Leviticus and Revelation stuff in order to tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing. Example, you shouldn't be having same-sex relationships. You'll end up in hell. And most of all, it was perfect when I needed to block out people telling me who I should be without even knowing anything about me. Example. So you wear dresses? But you a stud. That just don't seem right. Yep, my systems were ironclad. I knew how to activate at the drop of a dime. I had lots of practice. But here I was, far removed from any sign of a threat, and what I didn't know I needed couldn't get in. I was working at the barbershop, and Andrew was innately a place of vulnerability. There were times where somebody would come in and share a recent breakup. Sometimes I would hear about the struggles people were having internally with their own identity. And every now and then I would get the conversation about how they had to leave the old barber because they were being hit on, and if I knew their old barber, not to say anything about me being their new barber. I listened a lot, but I also shared my own stories as they were relatable. I was once asked, "How do you become vulnerable when you don't know some of these people?" I responded by saying that sometimes it's simply finding a common ground and staying in that place. Something that I've found to be true is that we all have so much in common, and sometimes that commonality gets missed because the packaging looks different. A few things I've grown to learn about people is this. One, we all want to be seen. Two, we all want to be heard. And three, actual human contact is necessary. And at the shop, I made sure to do all of these things. Well, touch was automatic, but I made sure my energy was right before I allowed someone in my chair. People can feel that stuff, you know. So by day, I lived in this vulnerability, my own and other people's. And to be honest, it was a win-win. I could relax in my default ways of being and also provide a good service to somebody that was putting a part of their identity into my hands. And when I got off work, I'd reactivate that defense system. I did this for a few months, even after getting the tattoo. It was work to be open, then close, to let love in, to push it away, and subconsciously evade kindness. And this was all because I didn't feel like I was in a position to really just show up while being on the lookout for grief. And then I began to see it. I was reliving all these stories around loneliness and rejection. I was keeping this idea that because I wasn't from Seattle, never mind the past 9+ years I'd been here, I thought I didn't have anybody. All of my people were stretched across the country. All the friends I had when my wife and I were together had chosen to stay connected to her without even touching base with me one time. The irony was that I never considered them my people anyway. So it felt weird, but it didn't hurt, if I'm to be honest. My ego just hated the idea that everybody was probably blaming me. And this train of thought would just spiral. And as the spiral went down, you guessed it, the walls went up. I don't know how it happened or what conversation prompted it, but one day it was like one of those bricks fell from that wall and made me notice it. I had been hanging out regularly. If I had a client that had a performance, I went. If someone suggested dinner, I went. And if brunch was mentioned, that was an automatic yes. In my book, Sundays are made for brunch, so I never passed that up. I'd find myself so busy that every now and then I would have to cancel because of hangout fatigue. This introvert was doing way too much by trying to balance the skills of social and antisocial. Hold up, let me say this. When my wife and I were together, I didn't do a lot of hanging out. Actually, not much at all. So hanging out was a new thing I was trying and hadn't done since living in Philly. Sometimes it was great, and sometimes my introvert was like, "Yo, chill." So with that being said, this brick that fell on me was saying, look around, you got people right here. You love them, they love you, you hang out, you get treated to dinner sometimes, and ain't nobody asking for nothing from you. Mostly, I hung out with clients, but I definitely had a solid 3 to 4 people that I was with on a regular. I shook myself. Another brick fell. Yo, Life is actually really good. You so focused on healing that you can't see the healing is happening. What you were wanting for is now shooting cannonballs at your wall and digging around that stop sign. You better come out here and see what's waiting for you. And I did. I stepped out and I looked around. I saw people that just wanted to chat over tea. I saw some folks that wanted to hold space and let me talk. A few wanted to simply go for walks or a drive. Most of them didn't even know what was going on for me. There was such an abundance of healing happening just by allowing that once I stood in my power of vulnerability, I was taken over by it. I could finally see that my healing was built into my vulnerability. My vulnerability was what made me who I was, being open so I could let things in and also put my version of love out. I'd been avoiding my healing based on a new pain that felt like an old pain that was attached to some old stories, and I treated it the same way. What I'd learned here was that there was a part of me that felt like being vulnerable was a weakness. Being vulnerable wasn't emotionally smart because it meant that I was capable of being physically or emotionally wounded, and it would leave me open to attack or damage, assailable. And the fact of the matter was that vulnerability was one of my superpowers. It's where my brand of healing lied. I was open to people because it felt good. And not just good, but it felt right. Now, when I didn't feel safe, yeah, my younger self was smart enough to create a system that could scramble and toss some bricks together, and that turned into a revamped, push-button, almost impenetrable perimeter as I got older. Sometimes it activated before I even hit the button, but this system had become outdated and no longer compatible with the newer version of me that I operated in. What I hadn't accounted for was how good it felt to be open. What I hadn't asked myself was, do these walls actually block out the hurt? And when I did, the answer was a swift no. Then I wonder, what was the worst that can happen if the system isn't in place? I had no answer. If I could still feel and recognize pain and hurt, what was it all for, other than keeping out what I needed to let in? Knowing myself better, trusting myself more, and simply recognizing a hurt person from one that was out to get me made all the difference. It took a lot of work to get to this place of seeing how my vulnerability helped shape me. And just like that, I saw how this push-button defense wasn't going to serve me anymore, and I started removing each brick and heading down to the core to dig up that stop sign. Hope you made it to the end of my story, and I wanted to share that story because I know a lot of people that find vulnerability to be such a place of weakness and really just like something that needs protecting at all costs because of whatever pains or hurts or, you know, boundaries people have crossed in their past, and they've just become very protective of that space in their heart. And I just wanted to ask you all, you know, like, how do you relate to vulnerability? Do you relate in a way that's like, it feels good and I need to, you know, like, that's how I access other people and allow other people to access me? Or do you see it as, you know, oh, it's going to take some time. I'm not just going to be open to anybody. Or are you just very selective? You know, like, do you reserve that space for really close friends and family? Just curious. Or do you find yourself, even how I find myself in that story, just essentially rejecting people because you had an idea of how you should be? Or you were rejecting people or keeping your walls up because there was something coming at you that felt really familiar, and then later you realize, like, oh, that's not what that was at all, but it was too late. You know, like, the wall was up and you avoided it at all costs, and then later realized, ah, that hurt like this thing over here, but it wasn't that at all. I'm just curious. I really would love to be having some of these conversations with people, and maybe we can get together and have a conversation about some of these questions and answers. Anyhow, thanks for listening again this week. Much love and appreciation. Remember, be kind, be great, be you. There's only one. Peace and love.